Welcome to the RLT Pivot Podcast, where each week we discuss a trading topic in a way that will provide encouragement, inspire growth, vanquish fears, offer solutions, and take you to the next level in your trading journey. So get ready as we dive in right now. And welcome back, everyone, to another Pivot Podcast. My name is Tracy, and I am once again joined with my amazing co-host, Mr. Dan Jansen. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Tracy. Good to be back on another Pivot Podcast. This one's going to be an interesting one. So in regards to topic for what we're talking about, I think people just have the general opposite actions, I guess I would say, compared to probably the way they should be living. So a lot of people, you're in Canada, so maybe it's completely different. I feel like Americans love to spend, though. We're consumers in general. I don't know how you guys are doing in Canada with that, but for us, I think most of us, I think before COVID, actually, it was, I think I read a report that most Americans didn't have $1,000 saved in their account for like an emergency fund. And I think during COVID, because people couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, government was literally sending out checks to people. So I think they were able to build up a little bit. I think they were able to get down in credit card debt. I think credit card debt was through the roof. But now that everything's opened, and I think people do have the itch to travel, I'm very curious if people go back to the same kind of habits that they were just in before, which would be an interesting concept. But when trading the stock market or dealing with the stock market, we could actually be an owner and not a consumer, right? So we could actually be buying things that we would normally consume, let the market pay for those things. And I know we could get into a little bit about just some real life examples that we have, even from the real life trading community of people that have done that. But it is an interesting concept. How do you kind of deal with that process of being a consumer or trying to be an owner over a consumer?
Well, first of all, let's just talk a little bit about what that means. And every single day, if you take a look around your house, you're going to see products that you use on a regular basis, whether it be stuff you bought at Costco or whether it's your shampoo and conditioner that you got from Johnson & Johnson or whatever it might be. You could be driving a Tesla. You could be driving a Ford. Those are all products, and they're sold by a company, and that company is traded on the stock market, generally speaking. I only wish Lego was, just saying, because I would be a massive investor in Lego if it was. We got tons of it.
Big Lego fan?
Yeah, since I was little. Yeah, you bet. So really, it comes down to looking around your house, and if you're a consumer of those products, then why aren't you an owner? Why aren't you investing in those products at the same time? Because you know you're the one that you want to buy it. So you know it's a good product, right? And that's really what we're talking about right now. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Not so much on the Legos. I didn't really get hooked on Legos. I was a Lincoln Log kid. I don't know. I don't know how many people I had Lincoln Logs, but yeah, I was building the houses out of those things.
Who sells those?
Exactly. But yeah, so I think it's the same thing. I mean, like I said, most people are out there spending, and even when it comes to the long-term investing, my number one rule that I would say is know what the company does.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Apple, a trillion-dollar company, how many Apple products? You could probably look in your room right now and have an Apple iPhone, Apple Mac computer, an iPad. You have all the dongles that they make you buy. You have
Apple Watch.
Apple Music, Apple Watch. Yeah. There's so many different products. And like, even if we get to the phone, I mean, every year they have a new phone, but every 2 years you're buying a new phone, you're upgrading. So those are the type of companies that I would be looking for. But even, I mean, you could be looking at Crest toothpaste, right? Who makes that? If you're looking at, I believe, Procter & Gamble. J&J, I'm sure you have some medicine in the cabinet. Like, things like that. Those are companies that you could actually just be buying shares of, making profit. And whether it's long-term investing or you're actually just looking at certain basic levels of support resistance and just waiting for it to hit support, buying it, being able to take that money and pulling it out and actually buying those products you're going to be buying anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's an interesting concept. We had, I believe it was a Trader Summit back in September of last year that we held. And I think David Potvin, who's one of the team members here with Real Life Trading, he was talking about just kind of building his lifestyle off of that, which was just an interesting concept. And I know there was some other traders that tried to do it as well, and they were pretty successful. But even Netflix, I mean, how much does Netflix cost a month? $15? One trade and you're paying for 10 years of Netflix, right? The idea is, though, that you take that money, you pull it out, and you put it on the side to actually pay for Netflix as opposed to just reinvesting it into something else and losing it, which I think is the big difference. But I think even with Tesla, I think he was able to trade his way into a free Tesla, essentially.
Well, his trades paid for his Tesla, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so. Absolutely. Now, I mean, who's your phone provider?
For me, I'm cheap. I use Metro PCS.
Okay.
Which I had Verizon for years, and I had somebody that was working for me at one point, and they're like, why do you, I think my bill was like it was like $180 a month or something. He goes, yeah, no, just go Metro PCS. He's paying for him by himself. It was like $50 a month.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, but you get cut, signals cut, you get all this. He goes, no, you got to try it. So I was like, all right, no contracts with Metro. I'll try it for a month. Since I've had it for 2-3 years now, I haven't dropped anything. And I'm like, why switch back? The customer service is fine. Never had any issues, never anything. But so I don't even know if Metro PCS is publicly traded. But likewise, I could still trade a Verizon or AT&T or anything else that would provide cell phone service.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you're looking at the services. So what are the services that we've got? We've got our phone services. We've got our cable services, our internet services. Even our fuel, if you're buying fuel, why aren't you trading the oil company or the company that you're buying your fuel from? Those are just little ways that you can start to pay for the things that you're consuming on a regular basis and become an owner instead of a consumer and tailor your life around that. I think it's a great concept. What's your favorite company to invest in that you use on a regular basis?
I'm going to go a little broad here and say anything with dividends. Because I love dividends. I do. So like even you mentioned oil. I mean, I own a decent amount of ExxonMobil. I was buying it from 35 to 45 level. Right now, I think it's, I don't know, $90 a share or something like that. So like not only has the shares increased in volume, and obviously we've seen pricing of gas go up. It's through the roof. But ExxonMobil also pays dividends as well. So Each month, I think it was when I got in, it was roughly like 5% dividend, something like that. So every single quarter, I'm still making, no matter what the stock does, I'm still making, they're going to pay me just to continue to hold it, which is fantastic. And as the gas prices go up, I mean, so does the value of ExxonMobil. And I'm not selling ExxonMobil. I'll buy some puts and something if it goes, I think it's going to go down or whatever, but I'm just going to hold those shares. So it's not like I'm going to take that money out to use it for filling up the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
But I love companies like that I will use products or at least in the industry of those products. I get the dividends. I'm looking still to buy things low and just try to max out the dividend rates on good quality companies I use. The one interesting with this market, and we've seen this year's been rough in the stock market as far as pullbacks. That being said, I think it's we might not be at the bottom. I would safely bet we probably did not hit the bottom of this market. But I would say there's a lot of companies out there of products that we currently use that, number one, will be bouncing back. They're strongly going to be around forever. And two, a lot of those companies do have dividends as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think this is a time to start slowly buying, piecing in. You're not going to catch the bottom, but just over time, you're just kind of acquiring those shares. And again, that's not so much trade aspect, but that is more buy, hold, longer term aspect of things.
Gotcha. Well, I am a huge, huge customer of Costco. I'm there.
Costco, yeah.
Yeah, I'm there regularly. I love the company. And do you shop at Costco?
I have a BJ's membership.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, I don't think I've ever left Costco without a bill that's less than $300-$400 Canadian. So it costs a lot to shop at Costco, and you end up coming away with a lot more than what you expected when you go in there. At least I do. So my goal is to never have to pay for an actual Costco bill when I'm there. My goal is to earn enough through Costco to cover it. And I've been doing that successfully. I mean, Costco is a great company. I love, like I said, I love investing in it. And even when we had that most recent pullback, Costco was on a rampage higher, and it was good. So that's one of my biggest investors, or I should say I actually trade it. I don't invest in it. I do in one of my accounts, but majority of the time I'm trading it. I'm swing trading it. So that's the purpose of that.
How often are you trading Costco?
I'd say at least five times a year, I'm putting a trade on Costco. It really depends on the setups. If there's more setups, then I'll get in. But I also scale in. So I could be in at a level, and if it throws in another signal, I'm going to add to the position. I'm going to continue to add on the way up and wait for it to basically trail me out, is what I've been doing. So that's working successfully for me, and I'm loving it. So bring it on. Because Costco, I mean, it's a cash business. I know they don't have a lot of debt necessarily. I mean, like I said, they're cash, so they're not giving out loans. They're not doing certain things like that. I see one popping up all over the place. They're always busy. Like it's just, they're a good company anyway. So that's one of the ones that I know how they make money, and I know how they operate. I'm a consumer, regular consumer. So I'm very comfortable in investing and trading with them.
I would say that they're not quite recession proof, but they're relatively close to it. Because like you said, when you go in there, and it's the same thing with me and BJ's, I think any of those wholesale clubs, you can't go in there and get away for less than a couple hundred dollars. And every single time I drive home from BJ's, I'm thinking, what did I spend money on? Like, I can't figure it out, but it just adds up. So you're still spending money, but you are getting a lot more value for what you're spending. So even in some type of recession, I think that any of those wholesale places will be decent. Where some of the unnecessary products might take a bigger dip if we get into like a real on recession. So, I don't know how Tesla holds up, because Tesla will save people in the long run over for not having to pay for gas. Right. If you do make that switch, but you are paying a little bit more for the actual vehicles itself. But when we get into any of the luxury type stuff, those guys are definitely not recession proof. And I would also, if you're trying to trade to be a consumer, I would be very conscious of cyclical markets for certain things. So if you're trading certain vacation spots or real estate spots, there's different seasons that those things will pick up or be slower. If we do have a noticeable recession, maybe that trade is one you might want to stay away from for a little bit. Just wait for a little bit lower than what you're normally used to buying something at. But so just be cautious of all that stuff. But realistically, it's the same thing as trading anything. If you're looking at support lines and you're looking at resistance lines and you buy at support, you have a stop in place. So if it breaks under, okay, you get stopped out, look for the next support, right? And eventually those trades will make you money to pay for certain lifestyles.
Right. And let's be clear that investing and trading is very different, and it's okay. And to short a stock too, right? So, I mean, I don't like to short Costco, so I won't. I would use puts like you do to kind of cover the position and protect it a little bit and maybe make some money on the downside if I think it's going to go lower. But companies like Netflix, for instance, I don't have a problem shorting Netflix or Facebook. If I use Facebook, I don't have a problem shorting those companies and making money on the downside that can still pay for advertising, or that could pay for my Netflix subscription, whatever it might be. So let's talk a little bit about entertainment, because there's a few different companies out there that deal with entertainment. So do you go to the movies?
I won't trade AMC. If you're trying to get me to say I'm going to buy some AMC, I'm not.
You can short AMC.
I refuse. AMC, I think there was a time where AMC was a good, solid investment. I think there's still too much meme-ish activity. I hate stocks. I absolutely hate stocks that everybody else is talking about.
Gotcha.
That's maybe just me. I just find that things just move a little stranger. You have weird volume because you're people that aren't familiar with the market just buying and selling at random times. So, and I've talked to traders that are like, yeah, AMC, you got to buy. It's going to go here, here, here. And I'm like, I just stay away. I'd rather just miss out on everything than to buy in AMC. But, yeah, entertainment wise, man, does the movie, in your opinion, does movies come back to where it was pre-COVID?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I went with my kids to see Sonic. This is the first or second week it just came out. Literally six people in the movie theater. And that was supposed to be their big, like, movie of the summer that they were throwing out there for the kids. And, yeah, I didn't see any. I don't know. We might have a longer time to see any recovery, but especially with Netflix and stuff like that they're able to push this stuff to.
Well, and that's the point, right? It leads us back into, because I was going to ask you, do you go to movies? Because I I go to the movies sometimes, but the companies that are in Canada, I don't know that they're really publicly traded. Like Cineplex and Landmark are the two main ones here in Canada. So I don't trade them, but, you know, like I said, I will trade Netflix. There's those types of companies, Disney Plus. These are the streaming companies, and I think that they are taking over a lot of the profit share that was there for the people that were going to movies. So as you're pointing it, we were discussing this earlier that you trade Disney. You like Disney, right?
I do like Disney. I come from a entertainment career background, quite different than actual Disney. But number one, Disney's been around for a while. And I'm not saying, again, I don't think this is the best time for buying Disney, like today or at time of listening to this. Check your charts, look at support, look at resistance, do your own research on that company and stock.
Yeah.
But in a longer term basis, so number one, yes, I'll trade Disney and then I'll buy Disney for a long term at some price, and it could be even under $100. Right now, Disney Plus was their thing that kind of saved them a little bit during the COVID shutdown of all the parks entertainment. They're not fully back to maximum capacity at the parks, but I did go to Disney in Florida last October, and there were still lines. Still lots of people, still long waits for all the rides. So I do think Disney has a strong enough brand, and I think they got some political things going on right now as well with Disney, but that's all going to be short term, right? So my question for the long term buying is Disney going to recover in the future? Is Disney Plus going to be something in the future? I think Disney Plus does have a strong potential, which is very early. I mean, it took Netflix how many years till it really started to pick up?
Mm-hmm.
Disney Plus still has to create new content, still has to make Disney Plus something that you're getting content you just can't get anywhere. And then I think Disney Plus holds its own. But Disney Plus is still a small percentage of the overall brand of Disney. They still have the cruises, the parks, the merchandise, all that stuff.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When was the last time you took your kids on a vacation?
Probably the last one was Disney.
And they loved it, right? They're young.
They're young, yeah.
Would you go again?
I like Florida, so yeah, I would go again.
Okay. So can you imagine, what airline do you like to fly? Boeing?
I know there's some people that have brand loyalty to airlines. I would say I'm not.
Yeah, but you do.
I'm the most loyal person in the world when it comes to consumer stuff.
But you do to the plane, because you trade Boeing all the time.
I do like Boeing.
Yeah,
I do like trading. Like all Boeing. Right. Boeing, I love to. So I'll have shares, but I like to trade Boeing. I think it gives me decent enough volatility and moves.
All right. So can you imagine trading Disney over the next, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months? When do you want to take a trip with your family again? When do you want to do that?
We're probably going in another couple months, 2 months,
couple months, 3 months. And so let's say that you take the next 3 months and you trade Disney and you trade Boeing and you make enough money on both of those to pay for your Disney trip, pay for your Disney hotel, and you pay for your airline ticket. How cool is that?
I think it's incredible, but you forgot something.
What's that?
You forgot something. So yes, you could pay for your trip to Disney. And this is exactly what happened to me last time. I was able to trade. So we did get the Disney because we were trading.
Yeah.
We did get the flight because we were trading. I don't know if that came from Boeing or I think I was trading American Airlines at the time. But and I think we took Frontier down there or something like that too. But we were able to pay for that. But not only that. So number one, you go to the parks, you feel a different way, right? You feel like, oh man, I got one over on Disney on this one. Like I made money and I'm at the park. But then two, the market was still open the entire week. And I just had some swing trades out there and stuff like that. And they were all hitting. So like I was making money as I was waiting in line to go to, I think the Buzz Lightyear movie or ride or something like that. So like, I'm like, wow, so I got this for free. Plus I'm making money as I'm in the parks. Okay.
Okay, now
I will buy that $10 lollipop.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I honestly, I mean, what job do you have or what career do you have that you could make money while being on vacation? Like, it's there's probably a couple of them out there. You got to own a business. You got it, but
pretty much that's it.
You're still probably dealing with headaches, work, phone calls, things like that, in order for you to maintain that kind of lifestyle. Here, I had an app on my phone. I look, I'm like, oh, I'm up a little bit, and then. You know, it's trading does not have to be stressful. It does not have to be stressful.
There you go. There you go. All right. So you have a Netflix account. You have a Disney Plus account. Are there any other streaming companies out there that you like?
I do have Prime as well.
Prime?
Amazon.
See, that's another company right there. I am a huge consumer of Amazon. Now, I am not a trader of Amazon because I find it too spready right now. But I do like Amazon. And if they split, when they split, price gets down, I will definitely be a trader. I can guarantee that as long as the liquidity and the volume are there. But that's another company that I'm an investor in because I want to be paying for what I consume through the company. You've got Amazon Prime. I have a Prime membership. I also have an Audible membership, and I have what do you call the reading one? Forget what it's called. Kindle.
Amazon Books or something.
Yeah, Kindle account as well. Yeah, so yeah. I use Amazon products. I buy Amazon products, and I love Amazon as a company. So yes, I'm an investor, and the goal is to make enough money off of the investment to pay for my products. Do you invest in Amazon? Trade Amazon? What do you do with it?
I right now I have no positions in Amazon at all. I just for me there's just other companies that I'm just more interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I like stable companies, which I do think Amazon is one, but I think the price was just so high like all the time that I found better value elsewhere. Even though Amazon then has been running like crazy nonstop, now that we're getting a little bit of a pullback though, I will probably be at some point picking up some Amazon, right? So I like to use the market to pay for what I use, but I also love a good deal. So if I get a good deal, if they give me a good price and it's on a discount, here's another company that's interesting. So for Amazon in particular, like I don't know, I have zero idea where this market goes to as far as this pullback. But Amazon, even though they're such a large company, I think they're a strong company. I don't think they go anywhere. I still need a really good deal on this one just because for me, if we get into some kind of recession, the staple companies, the toothpaste companies, even you'll see gasoline get cut back. People are going to be driving less, things like that. But the consumer products that people absolutely are, they're a must. I think those companies are going to be the stronger ones if we do actually hit a recession. Amazon has a lot of those products that you could order and get and things like that. But all of the extra stuff that people buy for Amazon, even around Christmas and holidays and things like that, like I think that will be cut back and that could affect Amazon at least in the short term. But if I get a good price, which right now I'm looking at the chart, I'd want to be under $2,000. It's 2100, 2200 almost. $1,800 a share. All right. I'll bite. I'll take some.
I'm eyeing the 1895 area.
We're right in the same ballpark then. Yeah. Right around that 18-ish zone. That would be a spot where at least I start. And again, is that the absolute bottom?
You never
probably
know.
Not.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, it would be great if it is and we just make money right away. But if we're just buying, and this is in a little bit on Real Life Trading, because we have the all day access pass, 3:30 to 5 every single Monday, we talk about long term investing. This is the type of stuff that we'll kind of cover as far as the long term stuff. The people that are getting in and they pull out a price of $18.95. Maybe it's the bottom, maybe it's not. But what they end up doing is they'll go, give me margin on it, give me this, give me that. For me, if it's a long-term investment, I won't use that. If it's a trade, margin's your friend. If you're a long-term investment, margin becomes your enemy, because then I don't have the ability to hold it for $1,600 and the market takes a huge dip one day and I'm underwater. I'll never get those shares back again. I'm out and I can't get back. But if I'm nibbling and I'm saying, okay, I have $2,000 a month, all right, I'll buy one share. Next month it goes down a little bit more. It's around the same area. I want to pick up another share. All right, I'll slowly start tiptoeing into positions for these type of companies, as opposed to just me going, okay, I'm going to buy as many shares, 100 shares, and use all my margin and then just sit and then turn off my computer and not look. You could get lucky, but yeah, for me, that's a way that a lot of people start hitting those margin calls. I do agree. I think Amazon lower makes sense.
It's a great point that you're making, because the reality is that you and I anyway, and most of our listeners are probably little fish in a big pond. And little fish take nibbles. They don't take big gulps. When you take big gulps, there's not a, first of all, there's a lot of things out there that can gulp you up. So it's really, really careful out there. And once again, we are not offering trading advice. This is just for educational and entertainment purposes, pretty much. So that's pretty much it. We are just about out of time. So I just want to recap our contest that we've currently got going on. So once again, contest ends at the end of May, so all submissions need to be in by May 30. We'll say May 30th, just to be sure. And then what you need to do is backtrade your trading plan. So last contest, we had you successfully write up a trading plan. And now it's time to backtrade that trading plan, practice it. I prefer that you go at least 3 months back, over 100 trades. That's the best to get a decent amount of sample size. Log it, get to know your numbers. Now, that's not the contest part. This is just our recommendation for you to do. The next thing what we want you to do is record 2 back trading sessions. You can either record them with video and send us the video, or you can take screenshots of your back trading, how you did it. Send that along with your trading plan so that we can confirm that you actually followed your rules, what you did, where you moved your stop, where you got in, where you got out, how you trailed the position. And the third thing is to do an actual paper trade, which is different than back trading. So back trading is going back in time and trading what has already happened. Paper trading, on the other hand, is trading live along with the live market, but with fake money, not real money. So companies like TradingView offer you the ability to put in trades that are with paper trading. So if you have an account with them, they're free. You can do that, and you can record your paper trade, send it to us, and your name will be drawn at, or somebody's name will be drawn at the end of the month for a 30-minute coaching session with us. And then all of your names that you submit will get thrown into the draw at the end of the year for our 2-hour coaching session. So best of luck to everybody. Again, the deadline is the end of May, and you can send it to Tracy@reallifetrading.com or Dan@reallifetrading.com. And I will have all of that information in the links below. So enjoy. And other than that, Dan, it's been a pleasure.
Always good to be with you, Tracy. Thank you guys all for listening each and every week. And we'll catch you guys on another episode of the Pivot Podcast.